Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Sigmia. The ruined streets of Anshariad had been a wonder to his eyes. Spires reaching up so high, he feared they would surely tumble. Kalendor had been his first taste of city life, but regardless of Anshariad's ruined state, and even amongst the shadows of Nightfall, this place was breathtaking to behold. He had welcomed the reprieve from the heat, yet as Yindos gave way to the Moon King, so too did any warmth that remained.
What happened here?
Like all mortals, the fools of Sondara fought to covet power. Power they could not understand, let alone wield.
So because of magics, this is why all the people are gone?
Fear, Sigmia. Fear caused this. When those that worship the Dark Tide came to these lands, those that ruled here used powers beyond their understanding. But instead of salvation, it wrought their doom.
The day had been spent walking. So too had much of this night, yet after climbing through the rubble of some ancient building which stony walls still towered above, they finally ceased.
Below lies the ancient library, and that is our destination.
A library? We came all this way for books?
All shall become clear soon, son of Olaf Druin.
Here, inside whatever this place had been, only darkness awaited him. He shuffled slowly, reaching for objects to guide his way, yet nothing came to hand. And so he paused.
You are required, Sigmir. Walk a straight path. The way is clear. I will instruct you should you need it.
Gingerly he stepped forward, his thoughts racing. Every fiber of his being told him to run, but he had suppressed the notion since his first attempt back in Kalendor. He had no chance then, and in the darkness of this place, he was without a doubt hopeless. Hours of blind fumbling passed before finally he reached a corridor. A shimmering blue glow from within its walls guided him towards it like a beacon in the darkness.
We draw near, son of Olaf Druin.
What is this place?
A tomb. But its resident is not at rest. He is imprisoned here against his will, and we are to be his saviors.
Oh, who is it? Another like you?
There is not another like me. I am only a herald, and I do only his bidding.
But why am I here?
You are here because you were chosen, Signia. You, son of Olaf Druin, were born for this.
His stomach dropped. His heart raced as a dizzying sensation of falling overwhelmed him.
What do you mean? Tell me now!
Sigmir looked to his captor for answer. And it was here, for the first time in the light of this mysterious glow, did he see the truth. No longer did Anvidar, the icon of war, stand before him, but something else entirely.
No! No! I know what you are! I know who you serve!
I told you you would have your answers.
Black fire swirled around the form, engulfing the silhouette of a man, masking the features beneath. Slithering and yawning, two thick coiled snakes with eyes as bright as polished silver writhed upon the body. Each swallowed the other's tail, forming an unending ring as they chased one another.
It can't be! No!
You are to be the key. The key that will free my lord from his entrapment.
I won't allow it! I won't accept! I'd sooner die!
Rejoice, child. You are to wield power undreamed of.
He turned to run, but was held fast. His arm was gripped with incredible strength.
Let go of me! Please! Please, I can't! I won't! Just kill me!
I cannot inhabit the dead. As you know, I am no demon child. You need to be alive.
Please! Please let go!
It has already begun.
The darkness came fast, as did the silence. And for the briefest of glimpses, he saw the great maw of what he knew to be Jorindweir himself. Lieutenant Merrin. He watched as his master, Kazalan, strode forth through the parade ground, his leather apron-like skirts trailing for the defeated corpses of Einwerf's garrison. A twitching hand caught his eye. Its owner's tear and blood-stained face screamed in silence, twitching as the undead feasted upon his corpse, ravaging flesh and muscle with their greedy, gore-filled maws. Falling in tow behind his new lord, the pair walked through the open gates to the inner keep.
He is close. I wonder, can you sense him also?
I do not understand.
Each of my revenants were once savage warriors. Two amongst them I raised from the barrows of great chieftains. When they rose, before I sewed their lips close, each spoke to me. They spoke of a hunger, but the dead only feast upon the flesh of the living.
I have no such hunger, my lord.
Nor they. It is not a drive to eat, but a need for slaughter. They are driven to power. An unseen side effect of my incantations. I had expected you would follow suit, but it seems you are more unique than they.
He was, he thought, far removed from those mindless drones of his new master. Yet it suddenly occurred to him, How long did he have left to converse before he too would get the needle and thread? Rats scuttled by, squeaking their protest as he descended the steps into the dungeon, the revenant guard falling in line behind him and the necromancer. Kazalan seemed to know instinctively which corridors and doors to open, and like a good soldier, he did as he was told.
The end cell.
Pushing past him, the revenants continued ahead.
Be prepared to fight. This has the potential to become a slaughter, and I can do naught to stop it.
He wondered for the briefest of moments, did his master care for his well-being, or was it simply to preserve his new property? Any thoughts of such quickly diminished as he saw the ire on Kazalan's face due to his hesitation.
Go!
Every cell he passed was empty. A continued gate of rusted iron segregated by stone walls which made up the holdings. Each cell carpeted in a handful of urine-soaked straw and vomit-filled corners. As he approached the final set of bars, he saw that each of the revenants had stopped, their weapons in hand, poised for battle, yet they remained still as if frozen.
You disappoint me, Necromancer. Such a paltry show of force.
They are merely a shield. Fodder, so that I may defend myself.
Then you not only insult me, but you are far more foolish than I assumed.
Meryn stared at the speaker, his mouth agape in confusion. He knew the man inside the cage, knew him well enough that if he could express anger in any form, he would have beat the man bloody.
Lord Tarvin, your minion speaks, Kazalan. What is this impudence?
He will not again.
A sharp, intense pain shot through him, followed by an aching deep within. His lungs felt aflame, and he was forced down to his knees. Though his grip remained upon the falchion, he was forced to use his free hand as a prop.
Why have you come here, Necromancer? Does the Gorgoth think you would spell my end? It will take more than your paltry rabble and petty magics to send me to Mulgrath.
Great Lord of the Cambonai, I come to offer a deal.
From Balran, you are a fool to think I would trust his word.
I come at my own behest to offer an alliance of sorts, a pact between you and I.
And what is it? What is it that you have to offer one such as I?
Firstly, your freedom.
I am not bound to this place. I have chosen this domain to remain out of sight.
Freedom from the Gorgoth's ire. If you would agree to this pact, it will be Balran, who will be sent to the Labyrinth, and you and I, the overlords of these lands.
And how do you suggest we do such a thing? I can see your time draws near, Necromancer. Your immortality is almost spent.
We go to Sondara. There, beneath its sands, lies the answer. And when the time is at hand, I will consume the Gorgoth, and you, great Ithilac, Lord of the Cambonai, will be free of his wrath.
You are a fool, Kazalan. You cannot win my favor with words. Be gone from this place.
I have found a scripture of Vedorak.
Can you read it?
I already have. And it has shown me the ancient libraries of Anshariad hold a device, a relic, which will bring your siblings to their knees. Why come to me? Why not another? Vargulf or Anshariel? They have naught but contempt for me, due to my associations with Astaroth. And besides, the Gorgoth would never imagine you dare strike at him first.
The half-breed had ambition. I, for one, cannot fault him for that. As for the Gorgoth, he is far wiser than you know. Still, I tire of this game.
Then it is settled. We shall make for Anshariad.
In the nature of our goodwill, due to our new arrangement, I should warn you now, Necromancer. You are hunted. Even as we speak, they draw closer.
I know whom you speak, and she is of no consequence. In fact, I have left her a gift within these very walls.
How very benevolent of you.
We owe them nothing, my love. You owe them nothing. Not the Order, and certainly not my brother.
How can you say that, Dima?
Enfidar, you know I'm so very proud of what you have achieved. What you have become in the Order. But that is not why I am with you.
I have spent my life striving for this, Yima. Ulrich saw potential in me as a boy when no one cared if I lived another
day. I care now. I care. Does that mean nothing to you?
More than I can say in words, my love.
Then come with me. Do not go ahead with this ritual. I cannot be without you, Enfidar.
I gave my oath when I swore my vows. I cannot turn my back on it.
If you stay, if you go through with this, you may lose everything. For what? Tradition? For power? What good is the strength to fight when it's not to protect the ones you love? Is that not what our God teaches?
It is to protect all I can, and that is why I must take part, Yima. Do you not see that?
I see the man I wish to spend my days with, choosing service and faithful duty to a long-dead order. Choosing enslavement over what he really desires. Do not tell me otherwise.
Yima.
Go then.
Please.
Go become what they want you to be. But I cannot remain here. I will not force myself through the pain of looking upon your face after this is through and done. Looking into your eyes to see naught but a slave to divinity. Your kind and beautiful soul lost, replaced only by the hollow soldier of an ungrateful god. I can't do it. I'm sorry, Enfidar.
Stand, Enfidar. Stand. Arise, my child. Stand.
He ached as he rose. His arms, weak as a newborn, he struggled to push himself up from the dust beneath him. Embers glowed softly within the darkness of his surroundings. Through the blurred vision of his tired and sore eyes, he could see the pattern they formed, though he had no comprehension of its meaning. He tried to call out to whomever spoke, but his voice was gone, replaced only with a dry thirst which left him desperate for water. Arising, He stumbled, only to fall upon wrists too weary to support his bulk. Hours transpired before he woke again, though he had no way to mark time's passage. Crawling forward, he spat the dust which clung to his dry lips and mouth.
Walk. Go forth and leave this place. You do not belong here.
Regaining a little strength, he managed to rise up to his feet, his eyesight adjusting in the gloom. An exit lay before him. He had only to reach it.
Go forth, Enfidar, up into the light. Continue. Answers await you there.
Uma.
Unsteady upon tired limbs, he hobbled forth, his mind fragmented with thoughts he could not understand. It was her. It was her. He was sure of it. There could be no mistake. A renewed vigor came upon him. A resurgence of energy pushed him on with a sudden urgency. He knew now where he was, and the lifetime he had spent since her death had kept him waiting far too long. Yima, his love and life awaited him. Finally, they would be rejoined.
Where are you?
A luminescence greeted him. The wall, azure in hue, bloomed with light, stretching on into the shadows of some room beyond.
Where are you, Yima? I can't find you.
Go forth, Enfidar, up into the light. Continue. Answers await you there.
Please, do not go. Wait for me.
I will remain with you, but you must continue on.
He felt a sense of familiarity as he walked the tunnel. For the briefest of moments, he wondered if he was back there, back in the prison tomb beneath the Black Fells. Yet he, somehow, knew otherwise. Leaving behind the light of the corridor, he found himself in complete blackness. Stopping, he instinctively reached down to where his sword belt would have been, grasping for the hilt of Breaker. But the arming sword was gone.
It's too dark. I cannot see where I'm going. Yima, where are you?
He felt warmness upon his visage, as if hands held him in an embrace. A deep longing for such a touch arose within his heart. He had forgotten this kind of warmth in the years he had spent without her, and now, in the darkness, he feared to be without it again. He reached out, hoping to take her hands in his, but instead he grasped at nothing. And as sudden as the confusion arose, so too did the darkness wash away. Where there was naught but darkness, now a huge arcing chamber appeared before him. Pillars of beautiful craftsmanship and painted ceilings, cracked and ancient, came into his view. He turned his head slowly, allowing his eyes to drink in all they could of his surroundings. He was in awe. Even in its ruined state, whatever this place was, whatever it had happened to be, its beauty had remained.
Leave this place, Enfidar. Walk into the light, and all shall be revealed unto you.
How can... Yima? Where am I? Where are you? Speak to me, please. This doesn't make sense to me, Yima. Where are you? Where are you? Yima! I've waited so long to see you. Where are you?
I'm here.
When no response came, he began to walk. Looking down, he noticed two sets of footprints in the dusty ground he now tread upon. They led from an opening where part of the building had collapsed to rubble, and he could see the space was big enough for him to climb through. And so he did. Do you want to hear the next episode a week earlier than the regular feed? Do you want exclusive lore and bonus content? Well, if so, please consider joining the Patreon. From as little as $2, you can have all of those things, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling inside knowing that you've helped pay for the hosting fee, the fee for a voice actor, or even some sound effect packs. Please consider joining me and look for a link in the show notes.
Welcome to the planet of Corellia, where an insidious, dark evil has already taken a foothold like a vile black cancer. Join the adventures of a small, unlikely band of heroes. The transplanted earthling, Douglas Johns. The wizard, Magog Gabrielle. The pirate captain, Aiden Paulin. And the Circean princess, Isidra Calderon. As they battle their way across all 9 continents of Corellia, restoring balance through cunning and unbridled badassery. A new chapter of this great tale unlocks every Monday morning everywhere you listen to podcasts. Let the battles begin. Hail, Kumasan.